Welcome to the Sober Podcast, part of the Soberverse, created by the team at the Sober Network. The Sober Network is engaged in revolutionizing the treatment industry by creating its own token economy. We offer fresh ideas to an industry that has relied on dated interventions. We are responsive to a new generation of substance users who are attached to their phones, so we can impact massive social change. Our unmatched technology displays solutions of our various brands, demonstrating a thorough understanding of how we get things done. We are proving that technology, along with incentivized human accountability, provides measurable and positive outcomes. Visit us at SoberNetwork.com.
Welcome to the Sober Podcast, part of the Soberverse, brought to you by Sober Network. And today we have Hunter Canning. Did I pronounce your name right?
Pretty close. Hunter Canning.
We have Hunter Canning to join us on the show. He is a sober celebrity. And if you don't know that word, it is a celebrity who is sober. They tell me I'm a sober celebrity, but please. Anyway, let's talk about Hunter. He is a New York-based actor, puppeteer, producer, and photographer, and he's here to share his experience, strength, and hope with us today. Thanks so much for joining us, Hunter. It's great to have you on.
It's great to be here, Jamie. You know, I was just thinking, it's rare that we say each other's last names in our community. It's usually just our last initial, so it makes sense that you wouldn't really know how to say it. I don't think you've ever had
I think you're right. Yes, I've never addressed you by your last name. In case y'all haven't figured it out, listeners, Hunter and I know each other, and I've had the privilege of seeing him get sober in meetings over the last couple of years, and it's been a pleasure. And you have been sober, what, how long now?
A little over 2 years. It's 2 years in May.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you, darling. Yes.
You work in an industry that seems incredibly hard to survive in, let alone stay sober in. Does your journey in acting coincide with your recovery journey at all? Has it?
That's a really wonderful question. You know, I think it's really common. We hear about folks in the entertainment industry who have struggled with addiction. Mm-hmm. And the ones that don't make it, we're well aware of. And the ones that do make it, we're probably less aware of, except for the ones that, you know, come out and talk about it.
Right.
So I think there's quite a few folks that I think of, you know, once you start looking around, you see who's showing up sober to work, you know, and talking about it.
Yeah.
It starts to get my attention, you know, and some of my favorite folks in this industry, you look around, you're like, oh, that's a sober person. That's a sober person. And so there has been inspiration from other people. And then, you know, I think what really coincides too for me is in my story in being in New York City, and being around, you know, after you're in a show or you go see a show? What do you do, right. Jamie?
Yeah.
You go to the bar. You go to the bar.
Oh, right. That's what you do. Yes.
That's what you do. You go to the bar, you know.
But that's what you also do at intermission.
If you're that's how they make money. They don't make money on the tickets. They make $40 on a little pint-sized thing. And we have a lot of those plastic ones in my house. My boyfriend and I, when I was still drinking, we would save all the cups, which are cute, you know, from all of the shows we would see.
Right.
And then the pandemic, in the beginning of the pandemic, when I was still drinking, we would put on the lids and make little cocktails and watch theater at home on replay and pretend we were at the theater. But being in what really I think accelerated my coming into sobriety was also being in nightlife, you know, and that scene, you know, because it's just so ingrained in so much of the culture. And I just really got swept up in it for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then it really didn't work anymore. So when the pandemic hit and we were all locked up in our homes, you know, people, places, and things were all removed for me. Right. I didn't have, you know, it was hard at one part. Of course, it was hard for all of us to go through what we did. But in speaking, this is the context of and much harder for others. But yeah, exactly. And for actors, too, with everything being shut down. Mm-hmm. But the fact that there was no reason, there was no excuse anymore. There was no one to get a drink with other than my boyfriend on the couch. There was no one to go out partying with. There was no show to get intermission, get a drink at intermission or after, or go out to the bar and meet up. All that stuff was removed.
Right.
And so I was really just left with the unglamorous parts, which was me alone in my apartment, you know, doing too much stuff.
Interesting. I love that picture because, you know, I've been sober for a while, you know, 13 plus years. And when the pandemic hit and I thought, and then I saw people on Zoom meetings coming in and getting sober. And I thought, oh my God, it's so, you know, I can't imagine it's so hard. And it seems like if you're an active addict, and of course we do know that for many people, you know, drinking and drug use did go up during the pandemic.
Absolutely.
But there is that, but you showed me that, you just revealed that flip side, which is, because I thought, oh my God, if you're already an alcoholic and an addict, it's just going to go up. But like you, but I wasn't thinking about the fact that, yes, all the people, places, and things were removed. And, you know, if you reach that point, which it sounds like you did, where you're like, oh, this is just the unfun part and it's not worth it, you know, or it's not.
Absolutely. And I think it did maybe go up for me for a little bit because there was like nothing else to do. And then it had reached just a new high and a new low simultaneously.
You have some amazing credits. Broadway's War Horse you were in Lincoln Center, Blue Bloods on CBS, Ray Donovan on Showtime, the web series The Outs.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing stuff. What's your absolute favorite part that you've played, and have you played any of them sober? And you can answer that any way you question, but I don't necessarily mean, I mean during sobriety, in sobriety rather.
Yeah, that's a great question. So there, most of those credits, but not all of them, actually were pre-sobriety, because you know in the past 2 years. There has been less work and now it's starting to pick up again, which is great. I have done in sobriety. It was actually a really exciting moment. And I got to learn a lot about myself when I was about a year sober and we were about a year into less than a year into the pandemic. No, it was less than a year sober. It was like 6 months because it was December of 2020. I booked a part on a TV show called New Amsterdam. And it was quite surreal because we had all been in lockdown in our apartments. And then I was suddenly on a TV set in a fake hospital. And it was very Truman Show because everything looked very real inside. We're going through all these hallways. Yeah. And then someone would open the door and you would see like a guy at the craft table services eating some dip and a carrot. And you're like, oh, we're not in a hospital. There's like, I can see, you know, the curtain being revealed. And, you know, I was doing this scene and it was just me and one other person. And there was all these like COVID precautions going on. And this was pre-vaccine. None of us had vaccines yet. And there was, you know, the actress, she's fantastic. And but she's so good at TV acting that I could barely hear her when I was sitting right next to her, because she was just doing everything so close to the chest. And I knew, I was like, oh, I got to match her and just like really dial into what she's doing. And I it was so hard for me to hear her that I jumped one of her lines, you know, and and then we kind of fumbled over each other. But, you know, every thing in my being was like, don't you ever stop, you know, you just keep going. And,
right.
You know, you stay in it, right? You stay in it. And then what was so lovely was when I watched what that scene, when it aired on television, they used that mistake.
Ah.
And that's called
the dirty accident.
A happy accident. It's called the dirty take. And for me, it was such a beautiful example that the imperfect is what's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I have a habit of wanting to get everything right and making sure everything's perfect and that I don't mess up, so I don't look dumb or wrong or stupid.
Right.
And in between takes, instead of running my lines, I was saying some of, you know, I was saying the Serenity Prayer is what I was doing in between the takes, in between, just because I was like, I know the scene, I need to get out of the way. I just need to let happen what happens and let go, you know? And then so when this mistake happened, and then that's the thing that they use on primetime television, I'm like, oh, this is what I get to learn right now is my first sober job. I get to accept that I'm going to make mistakes and that it might be interesting. And that might be the best part, is making the mistakes, because I want to do everything perfectly. But
yeah.
I just always remember that first sober job, because that is such a small moment that says so much about my life and my journey in sobriety and being an actor.
Oh, God, that's, you know, and I think you answered my next question, I think. But if I haven't completely, add to it. And the question is there anything specific you do in order to stay sober in your industry? And you were saying the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah, I do that all the time. You know, I'm part of a, you know, the 12-step program. AA works for me, you know. I do outside help things too, you know. So I go to meetings. I have a sponsee. I check in with my sponsor. You know, before we started rolling here, you know, I'm going to a meditation retreat next week. So meditation is a big part of my life. I do therapy once or twice a week. And I've been doing that since when did I start doing therapy? 5-6 years ago. And I've been sober about 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, it changed, and as did all of those things. You know, my relationship to meditation changed drastically. I started to get sober and stay sober. Yoga when I can, bike riding, checking in with people. These are things that
you got a lot going on to keep you sober. I think
absolutely. I don't do them all every single day, but they're all, you know, tools in utilities in Batman's tool belt, and the sober tool belt can be like, oh, cool, this I can call a friend, or
I need this tool right now, and I know how to use it, right?
Gratitude's the big one. Yeah, exactly. Like gratitude lists. Some people, I'm on some text threads where people send me their gratitude lists. I used to do that. Then it sort of morphed to when I would do meditation, I would do my gratitude list to sort of get me grounded and get, you know, if I started stewing and future tripping and worrying about stuff, I just start to go through my gratitude list while I was sitting and connect to my breath. And that helps me drop in and stay sober. And sharing, you know, at meetings and with another person, helping somebody else does a lot. You know, just listening, being a friendly ear helps me a lot.
Amazing.
I identify with so much with what they're going through or have gone through, right?
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, listen, we are going to take a quick little break, commercial break, and we'll be back in just a few seconds. So stick with us.
The Sober Podcast is giving a voice to recovery and is now part of the Soberverse. Join our new virtual sober environment where you can connect with other people like yourself or find helpful resources on the following digital spaces: Soberverse.com, SoberNetwork.com, Sober.com, SoberSystems.com, SoberPodcast.com, SoberCoin.com, and RecoveryCoaches.com.
And we are back with Hunter Canning. Canning?
Yes.
Canning.
Canning. Yeah. Like the act of putting something in a can.
Canning. Oh, yeah. My mom all used to can figs all the time. She was all canning stuff.
That's my full name, Hunter Mama Canning Figs.
Mama, not mama. My mama never did that. She hated it. Do you think, Hunter, you would be on the path you're on now with your career if you didn't get sober? But I don't know. I mean, I think I could answer that. And I would say, well, I'll let you answer.
I'm kind of curious what you have to say now.
Well, I was going to say, you know, as much as I always like to credit so much of good things in life to sobriety. I mean, you've had a robust career before you got sober, and you know, and then you got sober during the pandemic when things, as you already said, were as we all know, slowed down, and the work wasn't there for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your career is different, I guess, now that you're sober?
I show up differently. I show up differently. I think, you know, so much has changed, you know, with me, sure. And in the industry right now, it's, you know, with auditions, we're not going in the room right now. It's all self-tapes, you know, mm-hmm. which means for folks that don't know what that is, it means like I'm recording something at home and then we're sending it to the casting director. So my agent's like, hey, you got an audition for blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. I get someone to read it with me. I do the scenes and then we send it to the casting before you should go into the room.
Right.
And do that. Now with like callbacks and stuff, then then you're in the room with them. But
yeah,
the first level of things have changed. And I would say my work ethic has changed. I would be scrambling to learn my lines. I'm a pretty quick study with lines actually. So it'd be easy to put it off. But I would be unfocused. I think I put up a really good front for a while until I wasn't anymore. Obviously, I think a lot of us are good at that.
It works for a while and then it doesn't.
It's shocking. Funny how that happens. Yeah. Like there's, you know, I was part. My version is like just a few people saw the really bad stuff. It didn't get to the point where everyone was seeing what wasn't working for me anymore. But I feel like if I had stayed on that path, it would have gone that way.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I finish things early. I said, oh, it's due on Wednesday. Let's do it on Tuesday. You know, what if something comes up and then I have this extra time as opposed to the scramble? I feel like a lot of the thing, my brain was scrambled and so was my behavior at times.
you have a new, you're a new dog dad.
Oh, yes.
Frances. I have met Frances. She's adorable.
Thank you.
Did you take the suggestion we often hear and get a plant first? You know, have you ever heard that?
I have heard that. I have about 30 plants.
Okay.
I'm one of those.
You're a plant guy. I didn't know
that. I'm a plant person for sure. And I have been a plant person most of my life and I've had it for many years. So, yeah, I think I was pretty I had already been on that suggestion path. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good advice because you have to, you know, learn, tend to its needs and water it and make sure it's well taken care of. Yeah. So I think that's a very good suggestion that I would impart on others as well.
Well, I mean, I am a cat person and I've had a cat. I guess I've had her for 15 years. So she has seen me drunk. I'm sorry to say, but it sounds like Francis has never seen you drunk.
No, he hasn't. He's only 5 months old,
mm-hmm.
which kind of blows my mind. His entire existence is 5 months.
Yes.
But he's such a delight. He's asleep right next to me right now. I love him. And I think, you know, my partner and I had talked about getting a dog for a while, and in that first year of sobriety, I was like, no big changes. Let's not get a dog yet.
You did listen to that. Okay.
I listened to that. No big changes the first year. You know what? Something that I really loved that my first sponsor told me was, you know, I think we often hear no relationships in the first right. year is what we hear. But he gave me a slightly different version, which was no big changes and like no new relationships and no ending big relationships. Like, of course, if you're in a dangerous situation, you got to get out.
Right.
Go, you know, like the door that's hurt across the world, like do it, slam it and get out of there. But for a lot of us, we're just kind of figuring out who we are. Right. And so I really liked that piece of advice, too, of, you know, see how the first year goes before you make any big decisions, because we're still coming into our own skin in those early days, you know?
Absolutely. Our favorite question I ask all of our guests on the show is, what is the most difficult struggle you have gone through in sobriety, and how did you overcome it?
Sorry, I cut out. The most difficult struggle and what?
The most difficult struggle that you've gone through while sober, and since you've been sober in sobriety, and how did you overcome it?
How did I overcome it?
Or get through it, however you want to say.
Yeah, sure. You know, as it's been the past 2 years, you know, there's been a lot of hard things for a lot of us. You know, I lost a couple friends.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, a couple friends, and when I got COVID, I didn't get it until last March, but it was a rough month because I was sick for a little while, and I lost a lot of weight, and it was kind of gnarly. And I think, you know, I'll focus in on my friend, a friend of mine who passed, who died of cancer, and he was about my age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was such a ball of energy. And he just had he knew everybody, you know, he's one of those just like, you just see him twirling through the room. You know, he's one of those where he's just always introducing people and making stuff happen and has four projects going simultaneously. Right. And you can come stay with him anytime, and lived in San Francisco, and he was a DJ and just was so amazing. And
sounds a lot like you. Actually, you're
the, you know, yeah, we called each other sisters in that way, you know, where we were, we felt really, yeah, connected in that way. I appreciate you saying that, actually. And when he, you know, the decline was over the course of the year, and going, making an effort to go and see him, you know, flying across the country and in the midst of a pandemic and making the time. And if he was here, like just prioritizing someone else, right? Mm-hmm. Sending him love notes and not expecting a reply, you know, and I made that very clear. I was like, I just want you to know that I love you and I'm thinking of you, and I'll think of something that was fun that we did or something or whatever that was on my mind and my heart. And if you can reply, can, and if you can't, you know, I know you're, you know, that it's with love, you know, because eventually he lost, like, you know, the ability to do all those things, was, you know, to even respond. But he would when he could. And, you know, I flew out to his celebration of life ceremony in San Francisco. And there was so many, because he was a DJ nightlife person. There was a lot of people coping with drinking and using around, you know? And I was so, I was grateful and heartbroken, and grateful to be heartbroken and to be fully feeling and present.
Yeah.
What was going on, you know, and to be grateful that that wasn't my life anymore, to just be like, oh, wow, I can really hold this, and I can grieve and let grief take as long as it needs to take. And not bottle it up, you know. You know, maybe some people are able to release by drinking and using and doing, but for me, it was a way to freeze and numb feelings right. I didn't want to feel or change the way I felt to feel a different way.
Yeah.
And now with those solutions to the feelings problem being removed, then I'm just left with all these feelings. But at that point, luckily, I had over a year. I had been going to a lot of meetings. I was connected to the program. I could call fellows when I was hurting or triggered. Mm-hmm. There were some things that were triggering over there, you know?
Sure.
And I called a friend, you know, and I like sat in my rental car to like reset. It just like was the only safe place, you know, that wasn't chaos. And reaching out, you know, for help. And then being of service and helping others, you know, just like being there and helping how I could help in ways that were, I think, helpful, but also creating boundaries for my sobriety as well.
Yeah. Well, well said. And I think, and we're going to end on that, but one of the biggest things for me in getting sober and after I got sober was knowing when I needed help and knowing how to ask for it and doing that. So sounds like you did that. Wow. Wonderful, fabulous, marvelous interview. And thanks for joining us on the Sober Podcast today as our sober celebrity this week. It's been a pleasure having you. Are there any shout outs you would like to throw out there? Anything you've got upcoming or you want us to know about?
You can follow my dog Francis at francis.prancis on Instagram. That's a fun one. You can watch all of the goodies going on there. Also a shout out, you know, we didn't say this in the bio, but something that I love doing in sobriety here is I get to do interviews like you. I get to be on the other side of the table with this company called Power to Fly. You can check them out at powertofly.com. Where I host some talks, and it's a really awesome company.
Fabulous. All right. And how else can we get in touch with you if our listeners want to?
Oh, sure. I am on Instagram myself, Hunter Canning. Pretty much you type in my name, you'll find me on most of the things, but I use Instagram and my website is huntercanning.com and also Hunter Canning Photo if you want to check out my photography portfolio and that work.
Fabulous. And I have been photographed by the fabulous Hunter. So check it out. He made me look good.
Boots for days, you. I could see those boots a mile away.
Listen, thank you for joining us. I'm Jamie Brickhouse, your host. You can find me at Jamie Brickhouse on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on TikTok, Jamie_Brickhouse, where I tell a true story in high heels every day. And I have a recent article on the Huffington Post Personal about my father, which is adapted from my forthcoming memoir, I Favor My Daddy, A Tale of Two Sissies. Thank you again, Hunter. Thank all of you for listening and join us when we'll be back with another show next week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Sober Podcast. We hope that you have found this episode helpful and look forward to you joining us next time. As we continue to grow and implement positive change, we hope that you'll share our podcast with your friends and loved ones. They can find us on all the major podcast directories. If you have an idea for the show, want to leave positive feedback, ideas, or comments, connect with us on thesoberpodcast.com. You can also reach us on our social media platform on The Soberverse. We'd love to hear from you. A special thanks to all those who make this show happen. Jamie Brickhouse, our host, Carrie, our producer, Carl Fessenden, our voice, and our sponsor, The Sober Network.